Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Right, we started talking about this whole milk thing, which is very confusing because it used to be that you'd go into a shop and you could buy milk or basically colored water that they called skim milk, and those were your only two options. And then things started to improve a little bit, and we could get 2%, and even the fat-free milk today, no one calls it skim milk. I haven't seen that for a while. The fat-free milk, I think, is perfect. I think that's great. But that's just on the milk side. You can basically get anything. On the other side of it, everybody and their neighbor is lactating. Almonds lactate, and peas even, coconuts. There are so many different soya. There are so many different non-lactose options that, I don't know, oats, that's a big one as well. So I don't really know what is going on in this, but it definitely seems to be a flourishing market. We wanted to try and understand from a health perspective, which is the healthiest, which is the way that we should be going. We've chatted to her before, Mika Siva, who's a registered dietitian. She's a recipe writer, a food photographer, a Jewish cook. A very good morning, or it's actually probably evening for you. How are you?
It is evening. I'm well, thanks. How are you doing?
Doing very, very well, thank you. So this whole world of alternative milk supply has just almost exploded, hasn't it?
It has. It is a wild world out here for alternative milks. And I'd say even 10-ish years ago, I feel like there was, like you said, just cow's milk. Mm-hmm. If you're lucky, soy milk,
absolutely,
rice milk, if you're in a very specialty shop. And now I think everything can be milked. It is my opinion that everything, like you said, lactates.
So where's it going? And what are the, you know, it's probably almost like this boom where certain things will settle into and become more mainstream. How do you see this playing out?
So I hope that it settles one day, because today I just read about potato milk, which I don't know how I feel about that. But I mean, I will say that the taste, texture, nutrition profile of some of these milks has improved over time. And there is a big rise in people looking for non-dairy milks, even if they're a meat eater, vegetarian, whether it's an ethical issue or a lactose intolerance or dairy allergy issue. And there are so many different milks, and it can be overwhelming when you go into the shop and you see this wall of everything and anything called milk to know which one is the best one for you. So hopefully I can help demystify some of those things this morning.
Okay, great. So let's start talking about the more common alternatives. Almond milk, for example.
Yes, so almond milk is quite popular, and I'll say if you're looking at a milk alternative for environmental reasons, out of all of the non-dairy milks, almond milk uses the most water. So it's actually not great for the planet when we're looking at non-dairy milks. Almond milks are also quite low in protein and naturally low in a lot of the vitamins and minerals that we would get from milk. So unless we're looking for a fortified almond milk, it really isn't the best choice nutritionally. And if you think about it also, almond milk and nut milks, while it has the name almond, it's typically less than 3% of that nut.
Less than 3%. That's unbelievable.
It's quite low. Yeah, so it's quite low. And that's, I mean, if you taste it, it's not like it tastes like almonds. It's not the most delicious alternative, in my opinion. So almond milk is very widely available, but it's not great for the planet. So I like to recommend milks that are good for us as humans, but also for the planet, so that we can keep existing as humans here and taking care of the planet.
So what would you recommend?
So ones that are better for the planet would be something like oat, soy would be some of the better ones that are in terms of environmental impact. Soy milk is the closest nutritionally to cow's milk, with the highest amount of protein, vitamins and minerals and things like calcium. And then oat is low in protein and low in a lot of vitamins and minerals, but it's has a low environmental impact. So you really have to decide where you want to use it as and why you're choosing a milk alternative. Because oftentimes it can sound really nutritious. Something with oat in the name can sound like you're essentially drinking a bowl of porridge in the morning in your coffee. But once you look at the ingredient list, it might contain oats and then sugars to make it taste good. And then a lot of additives like starches or something to make it creamy tasting and feeling. So there's a kind of have to play devil's advocate when it comes to choosing milk and choosing where you're willing to, I suppose, trade off one thing for another.
Yeah,
there's who knew it was so complicated?
Absolutely right. And I guess from a cooking perspective and from a people who are observant of the laws of kosher, who would like to use an alternative milk product in a meal that where there was meat, what would you suggest is the best dairy alternative for cooking for desserts?
So for something like desserts, I typically go for a coconut or soy or oat because they are creamier. Something like a rice milk really just tastes like funky water. Mm-hmm. So I usually go with one of those three. But when I'm choosing a milk, I always choose an unsweetened milk because when you start getting into some of the flavored milks or even when it just says plain, it often is quite sweet. So that can really impact cooking and a dish that you're making. And so those are my top three when cooking, and those are the ones I would use for coffee as well, because some non-dairy milks will also curdle in your coffee, and nobody wants their morning starting off like that.
Right, that is for sure. What about coconut milk in terms of health?
So coconut milk in terms of health, it's quite low in protein. If I remember correctly, I don't have it in front of me, but it's less than 2 grams typically of protein per cup, so quite low. Unless it's fortified, it's also quite low in vitamins and minerals. So there's really not a lot going on in coconut milk unless it's fortified, but it typically tastes pretty good and is easy to substitute into recipes. So I love using coconut milk in baking. If I'm looking to make a creamy soup, making like a vegan mac and cheese, something like that, it lends a really nice flavor. So it's something that I use quite frequently, but with the knowledge that it's not providing me with a source of protein like a glass of soy or dairy milk would.
Right, right. So I think that's, mm-hmm. I think that's an important distinction, isn't it? To just know mm-hmm. what you're having it for. That
exactly.
you're not under any other form of illusion. In terms exactly. of this movement away from milk, I sometimes think that maybe if you're in Los Angeles, you're probably in the epicenter or ground zero of this hysteria around lactose. How problematic is it for us really?
So when thinking about lactose and lactose intolerance, it's actually quite common, especially in the Jewish population. It's very common to be lactose intolerant. And that doesn't mean you're allergic. It just means that you have problems digesting the sugar in milk. So you can still drink lactose-free milk. I think milk also gets a bad reputation. There's a lot of instances of poor ethical farming when it comes to milk, which mm-hmm. is a very big problem. But if you can digest milk, if you like the taste of it, and it suits your nutritional needs, and it's something that you can reasonably afford, then by all means, drink the milk. That's my biggest thing, is if we should be eating and promoting things that are accessible, affordable, and will serve a nutritional purpose. And milk typically crosses those or checks those things off of that list. So as long as you can tolerate it, There's nothing wrong with having a glass of milk or adding milk to your bowl of cereal in the morning. That's my maybe contentious opinion.
Well, hardly actually, because I think it certainly sounds very, very logical and rational. Mika Siva, who's a registered dietitian, a recipe writer, food photographer, Jewish cook, is speaking to us all the way from Los Angeles about the differences in all of the milks. It is 8:30. Good morning.